Jesus, love is very wonderful. Jesus, love is very wonderful. Jesus, love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to this Holy Half Hour programme on 3TFM with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. As regular listeners will know, we have been doing a series of programmes about different branches of the Christian Church. There is only one Church of Jesus Christ. All Christians are brothers and sisters. But the family has many branches. The family tree has many branches, I should say, and the ice cream has many flavours. The point of the series is to gain a better insight and an understanding into what makes each other tick. So this time, we welcome live in the studio as our special guest tonight, a fellow foot soldier in Christ's Salvation Army. It's Envoy Tom Fullerton, who's an officer in charge at Saltcoats Salvation Army Corps. So welcome, Tom. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Alec.
Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Can you explain to me right away why you've got this title, Envoy? What does that mean?
Yes, well, Envoy is a title that's given to someone who has not been through the Salvation Army Training College, but their calling to ministry is recognised, and so therefore they give us the rank of an envoy.
Can you explain it in terms of other denominations? What would you compare with, like an auxiliary minister in the Church of Scotland or something like that?
Probably, yes. Mm. It would be classed as that, although in the army terms, we are officers in our own right.
Yeah, you're full-time? You
know, yes, full-time in the ministry, yes.
Yeah, and your current posting is in Saltcoats?
In Saltcoats, yes. I came to Saltcoats, or was appointed to Saltcoats in August of 2008.
But you're not from Saltcoats?
I'm not from Saltcoats, no. I'm from Greenock. Yeah.
And you travel all the time?
I travel up and down 5 days a week.
And well, tell us a wee bit about your origins. Where else have you served in the Salvation Army?
Well, I've been in Greenock, where I actually come from. I joined the Greenock Salvation Army in 1956. And then I had a period away when I was in the forces and then came back again. For the last 18 years, I was classed as the Sergeant Major, the Corps Sergeant Major, which was second in command to the commanding officer. So I have quite a bit of experience over the years. So that when they weren't there, it was my responsibility to run the Corps and see that everything went smoothly as it should while he was there.
Yeah, and your current job is to run the Saltcoats Corps.
The current job is as a commanding officer of the Saltcoats Corps, yes.
Just out of interest, why is the person in charge called an officer, whereas in another church he might be called the pastor or the minister or the priest?
Well, I think the name would give that away, the Salvation Army. It's taken from military terms, because what happened was when the Salvation Army first commenced, it started as the Christian Mission. It grew from that, and it was a chance remark of one of William Booth's, the founder's son, who said that if we were a fighting army, as his father had described us, then we should have a uniform. So the name was changed from in 1882 from Christian Mission to the Salvation Army. So the ranks then became in, as it was an army, then rather than use the term the reverend or pastor, that then they used the ranks of lieutenant, captain, major, and so on.
So when someone joins the Salvation Army, are they a private?
Yes, they're just an ordinary
What's
member.
The word you would use? Do you say member or do you say private? Or?
We call them soldiers.
Soldiers?
Yes.
Right. And everything is this metaphor of military?
Yes.
Is that because you see life as a sehr fecht?
Well, it could be.
Well, the Salvation Army is famous for its music, so I've asked Tom to bring along some very Salvation Army sort of music. So what's your first piece, Tom?
The first piece we're going to play is a march called Montreal Citadel. This was written way back in the 20s, 1920s. It's a very rousing march. In fact, it was the march that was used for my late in-law's wedding. That was their wedding march. And it was also a march that was used at my late mother-in-law's funeral in 1985.
I'm interviewing Envoy Tom Fullerton, who's based at the Saltcote Salvation Army Corps. So Tom, tell us a little bit more about the origins of the Salvation Army.
Well, it started by a Methodist minister called William Booth, who saw the plight of the homeless and underprivileged people in London and decided he was going to do something about it, because at that particular time, if you didn't have good clothes, you didn't get into church. And he thought this was terrible, that these people were missing out just because of their dress and their social standing.
But churches would have turned them away at the door.
Yes, they reckoned that they would at that particular time, they wouldn't have let them in because their clothes were dirty, their faces were dirty. And so that was basically why it started. It started as a Christian mission to basically to feed these people. He said, well, one of the sayings of William Booth was, you can't preach to someone on an empty stomach. So what they did, they had soup kitchens and breakfasts. So they invited these people in, they gave them a breakfast, and then they gave them a gospel message.
And the churches that would turn folk away, they wouldn't be too keen on his policy
here?
No,
there was very much against the army at that time, very much
persecution. So it had to be a kind of breakaway?
Yes, you know. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the army officers were put in prison for preaching the gospel, you know, because the churches were so incensed against it at that particular time, and even the government at that particular time was against it, and there's records in the museums as to the persecution.
Why would the government be against doing good to the poor?
Well, I think it was probably the fact that the Salvation Army was doing more than what the government was doing for these people.
There was no welfare state at this time.
There was no welfare state at that time, yeah. You know. So therefore they were catching the headlines that they were feeding these people, they were doing this and they were doing that, they were putting people in these homes. And there was no place for at that particular time for unmarried mothers to go to. So they started up the unmarried mothers' homes. And then they had the orphanages. One of the famous ones is the Strawberry Fields in Liverpool. And the actual Beatles, John Lennon, was actually brought up in the orphanage at Liverpool. And that's why they brought that song out, the Strawberry Fields. It was to the Salvation Army, honour it for the way he was brought up.
Yeah. The Salvation Army is still today famous for your social work programme, isn't it?
It is, yes. We have a very big social work programme.
In fact, some people would say, are you more a church with a social work programme or more a social programme with a sort of church?
No, we are basically a church. A lot of people don't see us as that. We are basically a church, but we have a social work programme alongside our ministry. That's part of our ministry.
But of all the denominations, you maybe feel stronger than any other denomination about the importance of the social work.
Yes.
Why do you see it so important then?
Because when Christ came to the earth, he was here to look after these people, to minister to them. I mean, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. And so therefore we have to emulate what he has been doing and what he did. And so therefore this is part of our ministry, is caring for the underprivileged.
Well, that's a good cue for your next track. Can you introduce it?
The next one is a song by the songstress that says, "My life must be Christ's broken bread." And again, to me, it speaks again of Christ coming to this earth, and we have to be exactly like he was.
So Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born?
Well, I was born in Gibbshill Farm in Greenock, which actually had a direct hit during the war. So we sort of moved about a little bit after that. But I was basically born in Greenock. I was brought up in Greenock. I still live in Greenock. As far as my life was concerned, it wasn't a Christian background like a lot of people have. My parents were spiritualists. Both of them were mediums, and they used to have services in our house on a Sunday, and we could hear all the different voices of the different spirits all coming through. So that was really what the environment I was brought up in.
So how come you're in the Salvation Army and not the spiritualists?
Well, my older brother, who is now passed away, was a Pentecostal pastor, and he was doing a campaign, and I went along to hear him and gave my heart to Christ at that meeting. And so I was in the Pentecostal church for a number of years, and then, as happens, I met a young lady, and she happened to be in the Salvation Army.
Ah, that explains a lot.
So that's how I came in to be in the Salvation Army, because of my wife. And, you know, we were married in the Salvation Army 46 years ago, and our kids were dedicated in the Salvation Army.
Just on that point, in the Salvation Army, you don't baptise, do you?
We don't baptise,
you don't have
we dedicate.
Christening. You no, have dedication.
We have dedications, yes.
Can you explain why that is the case?
Well, it's just a case of giving thanks to God for the precious life that He's given you. And so you're dedicating it back to Him. It's not just a case of giving the child a name. You're actually dedicating that child back to God and thanking Him for the precious gift that He's given to you.
But you could include that under baptism. But the Salvation Army doesn't do communion or baptism, neither sacrament.
No.
Can you explain why? You were saying a minute ago that you were very much a church with a social programme.
Uh-huh.
So why are you a church without sacraments?
The reason being, most of the converts for the Salvation Army were alcoholics. And it was felt that in the early days, that if they took these people in and gave them communion, the sacraments, it could put them back from what they came from. So therefore, we in the Army believe that every time we sit down to a meal with friends or with ourselves or family, then we are partaking of the bread and of the wine that Christ gave to us. So each of our meals is a sacrament.
Right, and on the baptism side, you put them under the flag.
We dedicate them under the flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you say more about that, the flag business?
The flag, well, the flag, of course, is yellow, red and blue. The red, of course, stands for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blue is of the Holy Spirit, and the yellow is the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we use the term blood and fire in our motto.
Well, let's do our next track. It's called The Saviour of Men.
The Saviour of Men, uh-huh.
Why did you choose that one?
I chose that one because of the words. The words of the chorus says, "Except I am moved with compassion, how dwelleth thy spirit in me? In word and in deed, burning love is my need. And to serve Christ the way He wants us to serve the community the way He wants us to, then I must have that burning love. I must have that compassion." So that's the reason.
Thank you.
So, Tom, if somebody walked in off the street into your church, what sort of thing would they notice? What's your style of worship?
Well, first of all, we would shake them by the hand and welcome them in, give them a song book. We don't class them as hymn books, we class them as song books in the army. Our style of worship would probably be different from the normal mainstream churches. The fact that our music would be by the band, the brass band. We would be clapping our hands.
Just on that, why are bands so important to you?
It was a way back in the early days when they used to go into the streets in the open air. They didn't have bands at that particular time, but there was a family in the army, the Fry family, and they were all musical. And so they suggested to the founder, William Booth, that they brought their instruments along and played. And that was the start of using the music and the brass bands in the army. And it's just snowballed from there.
Well, it makes good sense playing outdoors.
Uh-huh.
I must tell you a story. My father, when he was 7 years old, played in the Salvation Army band and went out on this mission work, outdoor playing, to the next village. But the next village wasn't very receptive. So he used to get divots stuffed down his euphonium, you know, the wee oompa.
Yeah.
At 7 year old. When they walk in off the street, they'll see the brass band playing. You don't have to be a musician to join the Salvation Army, but it helps. Eh?
Yes, if you become a soldier, then you can come into the band, play in the band. You can learn to play. If you don't play an instrument, then we'll teach you.
And failing that, you've got tambourines, so we can
we've
give you one of
them. We've got tambourines, and we've got what we call the songsters, which you would call in the church the choir. We call them songsters. So they sing, and there's hand clapping. There's a time for people to have their favourite chorus or give their testimony of what God is doing for them and what he's been doing for them that week or things like that. So it seems to me a complete different style of service from the mainstream churches.
And also the people will be wearing uniform.
Some do, some don't. It's not compulsory that you wear uniform.
But it used to be compulsory.
Only if you're playing in the band or singing the songsters. But you can be a soldier in the Salvation Army without wearing Salvation Army uniform.
Can you explain to people about the mercy seat?
The mercy seat to us is precious. It's where people can come and kneel and where they can meet with God on a one-to-one basis, where they can talk to him, where they can ask his forgiveness. There's been plenty of times where we've seen people who have been totally intoxicated coming and kneeling at the mercy seat and rising cold sober. You know, so there's nothing, no virtue in it. It's just a bench. But to us, it's a special place.
You have to sit at the front on that bench. It's at the front of the church.
It's at the front of the altar. Uh-huh. Yes.
Do people pray for you when you're on the mercy seat?
Yes, they do. Uh-huh.
Well, let's hear some of this Salvation Army Band music again. What's your next track, Tom?
This next one is called Spirit of the Living God. Now, I suppose it's a chorus that's used in quite a lot of churches. It was written by a bandmaster Arthur Gullidge, who was an Australian, and he was called up during the war, and as was most of his Salvation Army band, and they were all in the one regiment together. So they formed the band again as a Salvation Army band, but playing in the military, and they were in a troop ship which got torpedoed, and the whole band was completely lost, the bandmaster, the lot. So this was a thing that, to me, it's a reminder of God's spirit to us.
Thank you.
The Salvation Army is sometimes called the Sally Army.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it called the Sally? Is Sally a girl? Or is it just a corruption of the word Salvation?
No, I think it's just a corruption of the word Salvation Army, you know.
All right.
Because sometimes called the Sally Ann or something like that, you know.
And when we think about the Sally Ann, the Salvation Army, we think of it going into pubs with the war cry. Mm-hmm. You still do that?
I still do that every Friday night in Saltcoats, yes. I draw some Saltcoats in Stevenson.
So how do you get on in your pub crawl then?
Quite well, actually. You know, the people are very...
Well received?
Yes, some of, yes. You know, there's never any trouble or anything like that. They will stop and ask you questions, ask you about your work and ask you about the Salvation Army and things like that. So it's a good opportunity to me for witnessing. And the paper also helps the war cry, because everybody knows the war cry, you know. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you walk in, then they know exactly, you know. And so to me it's a tremendous opportunity.
It's a witness.
As a witness to
things. You're also in the pub doing it, as opposed to witnessing in other places. The Salvation Army seems to be very anti-alcohol.
Well, not in a, what you say, anti-alcohol. I mean, there are people in the Salvation Army who do partake of alcohol. But if you are to be a bandsman, a soldier, or a songster, then total abstinence is the norm.
Why is that so important to you?
Well, just the fact that your body is a temple of God. You're His temple, and therefore we've got to keep it pure and clean.
You're quoting a Bible verse when you say that.
Yeah.
Corinthians, isn't it?
Yeah. That, you know, so therefore that's the reason why we don't do it. But you can become an adherent or a friend of that of the Salvation Army and still partake of a refreshment. It's not...
Do you have to sign a pledge or something?
No, we sign what is called the Articles of War once we want to be made a soldier, and that gives us all the doctrines of the Salvation Army. If we agree with them, then we sign them, and if you don't agree with them, then we ask you not to sign. Can I just say that as far as the uniform goes, everyone buys their own uniform. A lot of people are under impression that they get supplied with uniforms. They don't, you know, they buy their own.
And the social work side of the Salvation Army, can you say more about what you do nationally and internationally that way?
Well, in the social work side, we have, obviously, the alcoholic units, the detox units. We have the drug units. We have homes for unmarried mothers. We have hospitals. We have clinics, especially abroad. We treat the AIDS epidemics and things like that. So there is a wide social programme that we have. And as I say, it is worldwide. We're in practically in every country working at the moment. And at the moment, we're out in the Philippines giving aid. Our emergency teams are out there. And we have one in Glasgow, which the fire people call us out every so often. If there's a big fire, then we go out and we feed the people there, the firemen, the police, and that.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for coming into the studio today. We appreciate your time and explain to us a bit more of an insight into the life and working and thinking of the Salvation Army. And we wish you well in all your ministry.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, let's go out on a high note. Give us a Salvation Army band in full flow. What have you got?
The Wellingtonian.
Thank you. Thank you.